Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the What Podcast. This is a, I don't know, Russ, what are we going to call this? Are we back for season 75
we're still in the tail end of season 6.
Yeah. Okay. So, wrapping things up.
Lord
Taco, obviously. I'm Barry. You'll notice Brad is not with us. Brad is in New York getting ready for Riot Fest this weekend in Chicago, correct?
That's correct.
But you and I had a big weekend.
What did we do?
I think we said it both days, Saturday and Sunday, but, you know, here it is a couple days later, and I still feel like, what a perfect weekend. Everything just went about as well as it could go.
Yeah, it really did. Of course, we're talking about Moon River Festival that just wrapped up in Chattanooga, Tennessee, where we live. And this is, what, the fifth year they've had it in Chattanooga?
Since 2018. Started in 2014 in Memphis. Drew Holcomb started it. It outgrew him and the venue there. So he joined with AC Entertainment out of Knoxville, which at the time... and they're co-founders of Bonnaroo, which is our, you know, near and dear to us. But they also were booking a couple of venues in Chattanooga, so they have a Chattanooga connection. And Drew partnered with them. They looked all over the state at places to move it and decided on Chattanooga. And we talked about this before. They looked at several locations, even here in Chattanooga, including Coolidge Park, which... has only had, to my knowledge, this is still the only gated, ticketed event inside that park.
Yes.
And I know when they proposed it in 2017, there were a lot of, you know, doubters. You're going to destroy the landscaping. What happens if you break something? And they met with the city, and they had answers for all of that. And the city, to their credit, said, come on. And... when I say it was a perfect weekend, we got rain. They had to evacuate the site for about an hour and a half.
Yeah, nothing like last year where, you know, right. Sunday just got washed out and canceled. So,
right.
Yeah, about an hour last or so year, later, we were back.
Last year, it had rained days prior, so it was already a wet, you know, field. This year, it was very dry. It took the water, no problem. It was the lightning that caused the real evacuation.
Yeah.
But got to spend a lot of time with you, got to see a lot of Camp Nut Butter regulars, you know, our good friend Chrissy Mintz, who is one of my favorite people in the world, got to hang out with her and her mom and dad, who were just as cool, and her 8-year-old daughter, who I can't wait to see what that girl grows up to be, because she's already a fireball.
We get to see a lot of people. We also ran into Lindsay.
Yep.
And Otta.
Yep. Yep.
So it's almost like a little bit of a homecoming when it comes to our Bonnaroo family.
But also a lot of the AC people. While waiting for the rain, ran into Ted, the president of AC, and Brad Parker, who will be a guest on our show in the coming weeks, along with Corey Smith, to sort of recap. If you're longtime listeners, you know they were on with us last year to talk about the proposed changes to the camping experiences and the a la carte sort of way that they wanted to do it. And they're going to come and talk to us about how it went. And Brad told me Sunday, and I think he talked to you as well, that they have a lot to talk about, things they learned, yeah. Things they're going to do. So very excited about that. Got to say hi to Rebecca and Megan from Larkin Poe, who put on a great show. What was your favorites? What were your
Highlights for me was Flip Turn for sure.
Yep.
Really, that Drew Holcomb and the Neighbors, that Goodbye Road set. You know, yeah, that was kind of a surprising set. Jude and the Lion was really good. First Aid Kit. I mean, just there wasn't a bad show all weekend.
No. Yeah. And it was fun. Like I said, it just like, you know, couldn't plan. Got to see Drew several times, both days, and actually talked to him about the Judah and the Lion show. And Judah is going to be our first guest. We had interviews you and I did with the help of Brian Stone and my daughter Grace and son-in-law Zach. Grace got put in here. Here's a phone. Take video. Go. <Yeah.
laughs> And I'm glad she did because we really, that extra footage we got was worked out great.
Yeah, she knows what she's doing, and I knew she would. But that worked out great. Got to hang out with her and our grandson. And yesterday was our wedding anniversary, Kelly and I. We had forgotten.
Congratulations.
Our oldest daughter's the one who said, hey, happy anniversary. And we're like, well, whose anniversary? Oh, it's ours.
Oh, yeah.
That's funny. We both laughed. But so let's get into this is September, so it's a fall festival. I guess you're right, technically. It is kind of the end of season 6.
We are kind of wrapping it up. Speaking of the end, before we get into the interview, what do you got planned for coming up next month? You got anything? Because I got a couple updates.
What do you mean, for the show?
Yeah.
Like I said, Brad and Corey, we still have to talk to David Bruce, or get to. I shouldn't say have to. I can't wait to talk to him.
I talked to him today. He's ready to come on.
There are a couple of other people that I've heard of or through from various sources that I'd love to have on as well.
Go ahead. I'm going to Cave Fest at the Caverns next month.
Oh, nice.
In October. That's the second festival they've done there, the Cave Fest. It's kind of a, bluegrass type festival, but it's camping, and I missed it last year because I had no bus, so this will be my first time going this year.
This is up at the Cavern, about an hour from here, right?
About an hour from here, yeah. Pretty much on the way to Manchester.
If you've come to Manchester through Chattanooga at all, you've seen the signs.
You've passed it, yep, and I've passed it many times.
Yep, for sure.
Later next month, I'm going to have the bus in the Chattanooga Motor Car Festival.
Oh, are you?
Yes.
With the B-52s
and performing. And the B-52s are performing, that's right.
And I am calling in every favor and chit and whatever I can think of because I want to see the B-52s again.
So. Yeah, yeah.
That's cool. Good for you. That's cool that the bus will be in there.
Rightfully, yeah, so I'm excited. Get to finish the year out with a couple more exciting things, so... Those are my updates.
Very neat. So let's talk about Moon River. So it came here in 2018, as I said, and Judah of Judah and the Lion performed that year. There were three of them. They've since lost the banjo player, lost one of the members. But that moment for me, and I've covered live music in Chattanooga for 40 years, and we've had a lot of big moments, so I don't want to overstate that it was the biggest or the best or anything like that. But for a live music festival, and I know I'm going to probably insult some people, and I don't mean to, we've had our River Bend Festival for 4 decades, and they've had a lot of big acts and a lot of big crowds. Going back to the Pointer Sisters early on, and then Lynyrd Skynyrd. It's a huge festival, but you wouldn't say it was sort of the young people's festival or the, yep. I'm going to insult people, but it is, it's not the pretty people festival. It also was inexpensive. Tickets for years were $25. Up till the end, they were like $45. You got 8 days, 100 acts. It was a lot more like a county fair. And I have nothing against county fairs, but it was not what you would say a new music festival, right?
No.
It wasn't current hits.
No, for me growing up, it was always, it's your parents' music, basically.
Yeah, it was either bands on the way up or on the way down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so when Judah and the Lion had Drew Holcomb come out and perform. Well, first of all, the crowd was 10,000 people, and they were all dancing. It was an amazing sight. And then they did Mr. Brightside, and I remember thinking, put it another way. So there were a lot of questions going into that first Moon River. Will people show up? Can the park handle it? Can the city handle it? Do we know what we're doing? It's $125 a ticket. You know, that was outrageous, just the thought of it. I mean, lots of people were saying nobody will do that. Not only did they buy those tickets, but about 55% of them came from out of town.
Mm-hmm.
And a large portion of those folks had never been here before. So that was amazing. Then you get down there and you see how cool that venue is, with the sun going down on the river and the museum across the way and the bridges. It was just beautiful, right? I mean, you say,
yeah, it's picture perfect.
It's so easy to navigate, right? I mean, just even getting there is mm-hmm. beautiful, because you got to go yeah. across those bridges. And then to see 10,000 people singing along to Mr. Brightside, it was the moment for me. It was a yes, this can happen here.
Yeah, it did happen. Confirming here. Moment. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and to go back, they sold out tickets in what, 5 hours?
Yeah, for that something very first one. Unheard of. Yeah.
Yeah. So all
and they
of
sold out this year too.
In about 5 days, 4 or 5 days. Yeah. So all of the questions were answered. For me in that one moment. And we talked to, I'd actually seen Drew Holcomb a couple hours before our interview, and I kind of asked him, and he said, absolutely. That was the moment. That was a confirming moment for him as well. Obviously the ticket sales were, but to get up there and, I won't give it away, but Judah has a funny story about Drew and the show, right?
Yeah, and I'm glad Brian Stone was there, because, you know, we sort of get into a little bit of Chattanooga music history and lore, just because of, you know, we've had some venues that have opened and closed over the years, and it's just kind of a stepping stone every way you go.
Right.
To Brian, get to that moment you're talking about.
Brian's a little bit younger than me. He's about your age, but he's a music fan like you are, and I am, and he's worked in radio and done podcasts for years, so he's got a good sense of, you know, that history. And so I was glad to have him on, obviously glad to have the help. He always helps us with these things, sort of make sure the sound levels are good and microphones are where they should be. But he also jumps in when he has something to contribute, and we wanted him to contribute in particular for this conversation. So it was fun to hear Judah talk about the moment he remembered very vividly, talks about Chattanooga. And I don't know. It was our last interview of the weekend, but we're going to go with it first because of this conversation.
Yeah, that makes sense. It was the last interview we did. It was kind of late on Sunday when we got this one done. But, out of all of them, I think this one they were all good. But,
So just to tease, we also spoke with Noah Cyrus, and we talked to all the guys from Flip Turn. And, once again, Taco hits a home run, so you'll have to wait and hear from that one, but it's worth it. It's funny. So, like I said, it was just a great, great weekend, a lot of fun, a lot of great music. They're so accommodating, right? I mean, it's...
Yes. Sue and everybody there that, you know, they're great to us, and we love working with them.
Yeah, Sue makes it easy, and... we made her work a little more this year than usual, but she took it all in stride and made sure we had everything we needed, which, you know, I can't thank them enough. I think they appreciate what we do, and we sure appreciate what they do. So that was great. So,
yeah.
All right. Anything else before we turn it over to Judah?
I think we're good. I think we can just, let's hear from Judah.
All right. This is fun. And thank you guys for listening. And again, we got a couple of more interviews over the next 2 weeks after this. And then we start in with the Live Nation C3 guys, and we start talking about next year.
It won't be long. Oh, before we go, do you remember you said, you know, a lot of people come from out of town. Do you remember we sat down under the bridge that day?
Yeah. Yes, I'm glad you mentioned that. I was going to it at some point. Yeah, I happened to sit down because I had to sit down, and a very nice young woman. We just sort of chatted, and she's from Emma. She's from Saskatchewan, Canada, and flew down here because She said, there are two bands that I think are about to blow up, and they're both on this lineup, and I wanted to see them, and they were Flip Turn and Marcus King, right? I think.
Yes, those were her two top picks that she had to come. Yeah, she flew down here and, just traveled alone.
Yeah.
Didn't come with anybody.
Going to stay through about several days and, mm-hmm. and just sort of see the sights and eat good food and hang out. And those are the kinds of things. I mean, everything adds up, but those are the fun things about these festivals, right? I mean,
yes.
Just saying hello and striking up a conversation. And good for her. I hope she had a great time.
Yeah, I hope she's listening, and you know, maybe she'll write in and give us a recap of what she thought. But yeah,
that'd be great.
Unbelievable to just fly from another country to come to. I mean, you and I, it's in our backyard, so it's nothing for us to just hop in the car and drive a few minutes. But I can't imagine putting in all that travel time.
Yeah,
but
that's a commitment.
It is a big commitment.
And she was great. Yeah, you're right. If she's watching, you know, obviously you can find our we have an email. Please reach out. We'd love to have you on to talk about your experience mm-hmm. and maybe some of your other ones. I get the feeling this isn't the first road trip she's taken, so that'd be fascinating. So, all right, let's hear from Judah. All right, hey everybody, welcome back. We're back at Moon River. This is Barry. I'm with Lord Taco. Got Brian Stone, and we have our special guest Judah from Judah and the Lion. Thank you so much for taking some time to talk to us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
This is for me the second time that I've seen you at this festival, and I want to talk about that. Brian has been kind enough to be producing our show, but he's also a bit of a music historian in Chattanooga too, so I don't want to overstate this, but I don't want to understate it either. I think that show you guys did in 2018 when Drew Holcomb came out and you did Mr. Brightside, for me, was a pretty important moment in Chattanooga Festival history. I remember looking out at that crowd, which was huge, and watching all the kids jumping up and down with their hands in the air, thinking, this is a different moment for Chattanooga. Do you remember that show?
Yes, that was that moment specifically. We actually were just talking about it because Drew and Elliot, they're going to come up tonight on another cover to kind of full circle that moment, because it was hilarious, because the song Mr. Brightside, which a lot of people know, obviously, but I don't think Drew got one lyric right, but it didn't matter at all. It was like, I'm coming out of my cage and I'm doing just fine. He just kind of started screaming. This is our, we coming from Memphis when we played it the first time to Chattanooga, it was like, it was really special to share in that Chattanooga year. I think it was 2018. I don't know, just being a Cookeville kid, a Tennessee native, traveling to Chattanooga all the time as a kid, playing college baseball with a Macaulay boy and a Baylor boy. It's like Chattanooga has this really sweet spirit about it. And so that moment, and even tonight, it's really special for us.
Yeah. I don't think you were here.
2018? I don't think so.
Brian, you were here, but
Brian Stone was here.
You don't remember that moment or that show?
I don't remember that exact moment, but I do remember the wave of the crowd. I mean, they were into it, and I was new to your music at the time, and doing research then and even every year before we get ready for things like this, I joke and say, like, you and Drew are the house band. Like, it seems like you guys are here every year. I don't think it's been every year. Is it something you want, like, planned, like, hey, let's do this? I mean, you said you're a Belmont guy. Are you still in Nashville? Is that where you call home?
Yeah, we're still in Nashville primarily. So we've done a handful of tours.
Nothing to run down to Chattanooga and play a show, I don't guess, if you don't got anything.
No, it's so fun for us. 2018 was the last time that we played it. So it's been, I guess, 5 years since.
Oh, well, then I'm totally wrong on it. Since they play every year.
But
well, so
it's in the same family. Like, Drew and Ellie are close buds of ours, and they've. We've gone on tours together and yada, yada, yada. But
So what I mean for listeners out there, so I'm not, you know, they like, you know, what am I talking about? So, I mean, I've done this for a long time. We've had big moments. We've had shows, and Brian, that's why I wanted you to be involved. We've had big shows at, I mean, Lynyrd Skynyrd played our Riverbend Festival, and I remember commenting to the guy who booked it, if you were ever going to rob a trailer park, tonight's the night, because there's nobody home. I mean, it was huge. So we've had big shows. We've had Jack White selling out at Trek 29. But as a festival, seeing the kids and the size of that crowd loving what you guys were doing just felt like a move forward festival-wise. And I guess that's what I'm
And just to jump in real quick, I think you're talking to the evolution of the music scene in this city in particular.
Correct.
We've had festivals that we, you know, jokingly, but kidding not kidding, called county fairs, and didn't really feel like we hit a lot of home runs, and we were starting to with a new music venue back in the early part of that decade. And then when this festival came here in 18, it was a big deal for the community, just like, whoa, like something like the major leagues are here, right? And that's what it felt like to us anyway.
Exactly.
I don't know if that felt like it to everybody. I mean, maybe you do so many festivals, you don't really think about what level they might fall on. But for us, that was a really, really big deal. And I think that's what Barry's talking about, of that moment with you and Drew. And, you know, I would guess most people weren't expecting a killer song that night. That would be my guess. That would be my guess.
Or that market, the kids, you know, I mean, the 20 to 30-year-olds, that market. And so it's a big, big deal. And that's, you know, it's probably hard for you to say, you know, because you're on stage. But it was a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that – just that iconic of a song too. There's this way of kind of disarming people, because you know at festivals for us, obviously being a Tennessee boy and you know being a Nashville band, traveling up to Chattanooga and you know coming up the circuit at Chattanooga where you know where we started out at Rhythm and Brews, back in the day, and then you know playing small shows up to the what was the Track 29.
And that's what I was talking about, the venue that first they kind of started to bring in the acts that we weren't used to getting.
Yeah. And so getting to have that and then play Moon River, and specifically just, I you know, for us as a whole, it's like we are trying to generate moments and bringing people in on our music that might not know our music, because, you know, we're at the time especially, we're kind of up and coming young band. A lot of people don't really understand our music until they see us live, and so to have a song that kind of brings everyone together. I know this song. I wasn't expecting Mr. Brightside with a banjo and with Drew and my goofy butt up there singing it. It's always really fun.
Well, I have to go back just a step here. Our buddy Mike Dewar, who I'll, you know,
who
we talked to all the time.
Rhythm and Brews.
Who ran Rhythm and Brews. I got to know, what year roughly do you think you were playing Rhythm and Brews? You know, that's a small room. Now, it was locally, we cherished that little tiny room. I don't know what everybody else thought about it, playing it from a semi-national to regional circuit, but we cherished that room.
Right.
Was that a thing?
That would have been like 14 for us, 14, 15.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So right at the end?
Yeah, I think it was right at the end.
Right as it was closing down, yeah.
Yeah, because I think we had sold it out, and which was – at the time for our band was like a big deal. You know, we were like, holy crap. We didn't know we had any fans outside of Nashville, you know. But yeah, it was like such a fun. So we actually wanted to come back, and then we found out that it, you know, it was kind of on its way out. But yeah, I mean, honestly, Chattanooga for us has been such a special city. All the shows are usually rowdy. It feels like we have like a core fan base here, you know, and it's always just been really sweet. Also for me, just a place where family can come and travel up from Cookeville and be around. It's always really fun.
That's very cool. So move forward a little bit, and again, I always interrupt Russ. He always has all these questions and I won't let him talk. Okay. So you guys had kind of a transition, right? You've lost a member and you took a little time off. So how's everything now with the band?
Everything's better than ever. I mean, I can say that confidently, because it's been kind of a rough last few years, just with a lot of personal life stuff happening during the pandemic. Our banjo player decided, just from his mental health and other personal things, decided to step aside and kind of focus on what it was like to be living life outside of touring. So, pre-pandemic, we were doing 250 shows a year, so it was a lot on all of our souls and hearts. And now it feels like there's a lot of restoration happening. Like Nate, who left the band, he's actually playing tonight with us.
Oh, nice.
As well, and filling in for our bandmate that just had a baby last night. So there's like a lot of like really beautiful things happening for the band, which is just really exciting, you know, because it feels like when bands have breakups or members leave, we're all kind of taught just in nature that, you know, it kind of leaves on sour notes, and that just wasn't true for us. Nate was just in a spot personally where he just felt like he needed some time off. So it feels really redeeming to kind of have our dog back.
Well, that's the first question that everybody's going to have who do things like this, who talk music. What happened? What happened? Who screwed over who?
Yeah. Right.
Who messed up? Yeah. You know, and sometimes that's just not the case.
Yeah, it was like a clean.
And it's a difficult damn business, right? I mean, it doesn't. Not everybody can keep up that grind. You know, I've been told that by many others, local bands here I've talked to, and be like, "What happened, man?" It's like, this shit's hard, man.
Yeah, life.
And we, you know, it just didn't right. work. There's no story here. Stop digging. Stop
right.
digging.
Right.
Right.
That was it for us too.
It's life. It's so interesting. We talked to Noah Cyrus earlier, and we've talked at Bonnaroo with many acts. The mental health thing is such a big issue today. And the one thing I would say is it seems really good. Like Camp was supposed to play last night, canceled, because it seems good to me that we're able to talk about it. I mean, I don't want to dig. I don't need to know. But just for somebody to say, I needed to walk away.
Yeah, I think it's hard for artists to when you're making a living off of your dream and it is coming true in some sort of way, to admit also how hard it is just breaking into that point and how much you have to work and sacrifice to really get to that point. Because we've seen even like our heroes, you know,
absolutely.
You know, back in the 90s, early 2000s, really have hard lives. I mean, Kurt Cobain being one of my ultimate heroes, it was like, you know, the dude obviously had suffered a lot, but he's one of the biggest rock stars of all
right.
time. And so you have to, there's this, I think, this beautiful thing in music culture right now where there is this it's acceptable to be like, yo, right. dude, I'm not okay, like yeah. I need to go back, yeah. and
go take care of yourself.
Yeah. And so like kudos to Camp and Camp's team for seeing the human and having his back, because I think that's
absolutely.
Obviously I'm not going to speak for himself, but I'm sure he didn't want to miss this, you know.
Right.
It's not like in
right.
his agenda to like miss awesome shows,
right?
But it's cool that in some sort of ways, like mental health and self-acceptance and admitting like, oh dude, like I should have this pride about it. I get to make music for a living, get to play in front of thousands of people every night, but at the end of the day, it's hard for the heart and the human.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, I can see people hovering. You got to go. You got probably other interviews.
No, I think we're good. Whatever.
Well, I got one more thing if we got a second. Just to go back to the Belmont connection. I know that you said you played ball there, baseball. I'm a big baseball fan. I know their basketball teams made some noise in the tournament over the last 10, 12, whenever it was, years. But what I noticed a lot when I was just doing research on this year's festival in general, there's a lot of music I had no idea that originated at Belmont. And growing up in the 90s, into the 2000s, MTSU was that it kind of turned into, if you're going to make music for the recording industry major, the RIM program, they might have changed it, what they call it now, I don't know. Has Belmont been a music factory for a long time, or is, I mean, I saw, you know, guys from Moon Taxi, guys from Coin who played here not long ago, Brad Paisley, if I'm going only on my memory here right now,
you're
blah,
right.
blah, blah. Was there a
Florida Georgia Line, like okay. Brian Kelly of Florida Georgia Line. He was the host on my recruiting visit.
Womack, from back in the day.
Yeah.
Is that a competitive scene? Is it a place to learn and perform? I mean, you're performing, you're learning, you're taking, you know, calculus one day and whatever else the next. Maybe not calculus, but
yeah, yeah, no, no, it is.
My point is, is that a competitive scene in itself?
Oh, the bubble of Belmont is like terrifying. At least for me, like I, you know, every kid from every small town that's the best musician in that small town is going into one spot.
Yeah.
And at least for me, like I was very intimidated when I walked in because you know I was a music business major, but I wanted to do songwriting. And you go there and some freshman's already assigned to a label and you're like, I don't know what I'm doing with my life.
I'm doomed. It's yeah, never going to work.
I don't even have five songs recorded, you know, so.
It's, you know, the line about the, I mean, I was in Nashville, which is it's right outside of, but it's, you know, I mean, how many times have we heard people say, I went to work and I moved to Nashville to be a musician and realized I'm not even the best guitar player in this restaurant where I'm working.
Oh, right. Yeah. Or the dude that's playing on the street is right. 10 times better
yeah,
than
I'm
you.
I'm not even the best dishwasher.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
that's
or
true.
Whatever.
So, and I think, like, I heard a quote about Belmont in the Nashville scene is, like, you can either allow it to intimidate you or to inspire you. And so I think with anything, with what y'all do, I'm sure, like, there's this comparison thing that just happens with human nature. But I think deciding for that to inspire you versus it, like, crushing your joy or your spirit, I think that's, like, the choice that you have to make.
Yeah, I mean, and the school's so prestigious for so many things. And it was just in the last week that I realized how much of a factory of music that it's been, and I was pretty impressed by that.
Jude, is it one of those things, and we won't keep you too much longer, but I'm glad he brought it up. Is it one of those things where you go to a school like that to learn the technology, and then you just say, all right, now I got to forget everything I just learned and do it my way?
I think that's kind of the truth. It's like the songwriting program is like they're going to give you all the tools that you need to be a quote-unquote good songwriter, but then, you know, for me at least, I always got bashed on my songwriting for the songs that I was writing at the time, and they probably were terrible songs, but I feel like you have to kind of allow yourself as an artist to distinguish yourself as someone that's different, that's not kind of cutting that mold. And the big joke on the music business, as you guys know, is like freshman year during like the convocation credit, they notoriously tell you, in 4 years, when you graduate, this curriculum will be completely different.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
So it's just like,
I'm like trying to imagine a George Jones or a Merle Haggard going through, you know, a 4-year college.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't work. It doesn't work.
It's like, yeah.
All the good ones drop out. That's what they say.
There it is. All right, man. Thank you so much for your time. You killed it again. One of your best.
I killed it. This is one of my best interviews. I appreciate it.
one of your best ever. Jude, thank you so much.
Thanks, Jude. Appreciate it.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, so there you go. Like I said, that was a lot of fun. What a great guy, and seemed to enjoy talking to us, and a big baseball guy. I know he and Brian Stone had some conversations about baseball, and it was fun getting the perspective of you know, the going to college and what you can learn at college at a place like Belmont versus getting in a van and sweating it out with a bunch of sweaty people.
Yeah. And, neat stories, and love, you know, it seems to be a common theme that comes up is, you know, mental health and the importance of taking a step back when you need to. And, you know, because that's really what happened with camp was they were supposed to headline Saturday, and they, you know, bowed out at the last minute. So, but, yeah, kudos for them for doing that. And
We talked to Noah, and I won't give that away. She mentioned, you know, the mental health is a big part of her songwriting and her performance. So you're 100% right. It seems to be a theme that we have talked about more and more on this show. And
it's becoming a part of the conversation.
And that's the key.
And that's good. Yeah.
That's the key is people are finally starting to feel comfortable saying, you know what? I need help. Mm-hmm. I need a little help. And that's perfectly okay. So, all right. So there you go, guys. We will be back next week with another show. And we're so glad to have got to hang out at the Moon River Festival. And we've got more on the way. So thank you guys for listening, and have a great day.
Thanks. see you next week.
Consequence Podcast Network.